Bruce Levine joins us now, MLB reporter and an analyst for WSCR AM and 670thescore.com. Bruce, thanks a lot for this. Appreciate it. And so much has gone wrong for the White Sox after a big offseason, but one of those things that's gone oh so right, and expectedly so, Mr. Sale. He's been incredible. It must just be a joy to watch him every 5 days.
Well, it's phenomenal to watch him. You know, you see this 26-year-old young man who's basically in his third full season as a starting pitcher, and he's the most dominant pitcher in baseball on the side of Max Scherzer, and I think a little bit more dominant, going for a major league record, 10 strikeouts plus 9 games in a row. More importantly, you know, it's just difficult for hitters to actually see the ball coming out because there's so many angles. You have a guy that's 6'5", and that's all arms and legs, and his motion changes, and he throws 4 or 5 different pitches late in the game, going into the 7th, 8th inning. He starts going from 93, 94 up to 97 sometimes when he wants to. So this is almost an impossible guy to hit at this point. He's got to make a mistake. He won't make a mistake. You know, 1 or 2 of your guys will hit probably solo home runs, but the under over would probably be about 13 or 14 on strikeouts tonight, I would say.
Bruce, is there any chance that you see Jeff Samardzija being moved soon?
Yeah, I don't know about soon, but I would say the White Sox just came off of a streak where they won the last 8 out of 12. It's the best streak going back to April. The ownership and the management hasn't given up on the team yet, but they have until next Sunday to show that they can chop off a few more games and get back into a wild card hunt. If there are 2 or 3 games behind the wild cards going into next the All-Star break, I would say there's a chance they hold on to them. If not, you know, Samardzija will be the first guy to be moved. And your team is the one that's mentioned the most. Your scouting director and some of their other top scouts have been here watching Samardzija and him on the road the last 2 or 3 times. If you remember last year this time, right before he was traded on the 4th of July, you know, Toronto was mentioned as a suitor, and I think they still are. Other teams to watch are probably 6 or 7, including the Houston Astros, Boston Red Sox, and this latest surge would certainly want to attempt to juice it up. I would say every team in the American League East, considering all of them are wrapped around, you know, 5 games right now, would be suitors for Samardzija.
Yeah, and Samardzija's having a meh season so far. He's going to be free agent at the end of this year. ERA of 4.33, and the 126 hits he's allowed actually lead the American League, but he's also faced more batters than anybody, 491 batters faced. But, you know, just the eyeball test here, Bruce, is Jeff Samardzija the type of guy that can step right in and be a team's number one?
I don't know about number one. I would say, you know, he's definitely a guy that can win 6 to 8 games for you from August 1st on. He's pitched his best baseball the last 4 outings where he's gone 7-plus. The Sox blew a game for him, you know, 3 times in that occasion. The other day, you know, with a 2-run lead coming out, 2 outs in the 8th inning, and first reliever in gets up to 2-run homer. So he's been much better than he was earlier in the year. He now has command of his slider, and he's throwing his splitter more, and that's a difference maker. Wasn't changing the eye level of any of the hitters early on, and they were taking advantage of the fastball. Now that they're not able to sit on it because of the slider and the splitter being effective.
Bruce, whenever you think of a Robin Ventura team, you don't think of a bad defensive team. Going into Sunday, the last time I checked, they were 27th in baseball and fielding percentage. Sounds to me like they're having a real tough time. I think they had 50 or 47 errors, I think. That to me is astonishing just by Robin Ventura, that what he brings being a third baseman. You think defense first, pitching, and then offense. But what's going on with the White Sox on that side of the ball?
Well, they have below average fielders. Adam Eaton and Avi Garcia have a chance to be good outfielders. They're not there yet. In center and right. Ramirez, who was a superior shortstop last year, should have won a Gold Glove, won a Silver Slugger. He's just gone totally in the tank this year.
Yeah.
Disappeared. And second base is pretty good now that they have this kid Sanchez, that they call it, but he can't hit. Basically, all the way around, essentially, they have below-average defenders. You know, Melky in left field, he's okay.
Yeah.
He's average, but not above that. So that's where they're at. Third base, shortstop, catcher, Abreu's okay at first base, but nobody even slightly above average, and most of them below average. So that's what you got. You got a team that was supposed to hit home runs and score a lot of runs, and they haven't done it. Normally, when you see a bad defensive team, you might have a team full of home run hitters that are kind of making up for it, and the defense doesn't stand out quite as much. You make two errors and you win 7-5. Nobody says anything. The White Sox are like a National League team right now. They just can't score runs. They're at the bottom in RBIs, home runs, runs scored. I mean, even below National League teams, which is almost impossible when you have a designated hitter and the National League doesn't. So they have underperformed dramatically, played their best baseball recently, but still can't score a run. And it's been a hard watch for the Chicago White Sox fans.
Talking to Bruce Levine, Chicago White Sox reporters, the Blue Jays starting a four-game set in Chicago today. You mentioned the trouble scoring runs there, 271, the fewest in all of the American League. And there were some big additions in the offseason, Bruce. I mean, they added Melky, you mentioned him, and Adam LaRoche. And on the pitching side of things, we mentioned Jeff Samardzija, David Robertson. Things have gone really pear-shaped here because, as you mentioned, I mean, they're probably a couple of days away from being legitimate sellers, if not already being sellers. Are there some hard questions being asked of Kenny Williams? Because we know there is the connection to the Toronto Blue Jays in that he was in the discussion, at least here, about maybe becoming the next president of the Toronto Blue Jays. What's the feeling about Kenny Williams there in Chicago?
Well, you know, Kenny's always been a stand-up guy, and he's one of those guys that wears his heart on his sleeve. You always know he's standing with him. Very emotional, very smart guy. And he's helped keep the Chicago White Sox competitive when they've had a bad farm system over the last 10 or 12 years. They've been able to produce pitchers, but not any position players for about 15 years. So he's been able to do it through free agency, the international department, departments, as well as astute trading. He's a really bright guy, and I think he'll make somebody a great president. But, yeah, the management's under fire here, no doubt. I mean, they went out and they spent an extra $20 million, $25 million on their payroll this year. It just hasn't worked out. So, you know, as the media here, we've been on him for answers, and they choose not to tell us anything that they're planning on doing. But I know from, you know, my investigative work that they are still open to competing and maybe even adding on a player if they feel over this next week. And again, by next Sunday, before the All-Star break, they continue to play real good baseball and get close on the wild card, they're going to hold on. Otherwise, Samardzija will be the first one out. And someone maybe in the American League East or in the American League West is going to end up with Jeff Samardzija.
If the White Sox aren't out of it, Bruce, I don't know who is out of it because the A's are dead last in the American League. They're only one game back of the White Sox. I know Chicago's just 5.5 back of that second wild card, but minus 80 in run differential, it just seems like this team is not going to have the horses.
Yeah, they're going to have a historical run and win 50 games in the second half.
Yeah.
The only thing on their side, in their division, they have the best starting pitching, and Cleveland is right there with them. Them coming from behind, both teams, about the same record, although seems absurd, is possible if the offenses pick up, because those are the two best rotations in the division, and by far. And you're going to see the attrition in the second half like you always do, and these two teams might be having the best outings where they started. As to whether the other parts of their team show up and get the job done, that's another question, and that's what they have to answer here in the next week or 10 days as the training deadline gets hot.
Should be fun to watch tonight, pregame 7:30, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yeah, Mark Burley is my favorite person baseball-wise I've ever covered.
You've never met us, but okay, yeah.
I'm sorry?
You've never met us, but yes, outside of us,
no,
he's your favorite
person.
No, I mean
baseball player-wise. Okay. I mean, he's just a sensational person and a great teammate, one of the greatest teammates I've ever seen. And I think it's just phenomenal to continue to watch him compete, 15 years down the line with an 88-mile-an-hour fastball. It's something that everyone else should pay attention to when you watch Mark Burley.